Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Beis. We begin at the Mishnah, four lines on the top. And the Mishnah begins. Av u'bino, if you have a father and a son, shiro atzachodesh, that they see the new moon. Now, they want to come and testify, but there's a problem potentially. Father and son are not eligible to testify together. You're not allowed to have relatives testifying together. So nevertheless, the Mishnah says, yelchu, they should go, both together. Why? Even though lo shemit starfins and zeh, even though they're not allowed to go and be mitstarif to make a kat of edim, the father and the son apostle, according to the Tanakhama, to go and give edus together, nevertheless, ella, she'imi, apostle, achavehem, should, let's say, the father go, and for whatever the reason, the father is found to be apostle. And therefore, he can't testify, so yitzdarif hasheni yimachar. So then the son would be able to be mitzdarif with the other witness. So in this situation, they still should both go, even though they wouldn't be able to testify with each other. And they should assume that they'll find somebody else to testify with them. That's what the Tanakhama holds. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Avu b'no, a father and a son, and any other relatives of Cholakrovim, are in fact sheirim li'edus hachodesh, are in fact allowed to go testify together, and this will be based upon psukim that we'll see in the Gemara. So you have the Tanakhama saying that the father and son and relatives cannot combine together, whereas Rabbi Shimon is meikel and says that they can combine together. And then we have Rabbi Yossi. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Maisa, the once was a Maisa Shahaya, B'tuvya HaRofe, B'tuvya the doctor. And what happened? He saw Shiroa Sachodish Rushalayim. He saw the new moon, and he also saw it with his son and with his Eved, who was Meshuchra, who Ubino the Avdo Meshuchra. So all three of them saw the new moon, but the question is, are they allowed to combine with each other, or are they even kosher Le'edus in the first place? So Rav Yossi says in this situation, what happened? The Kiblu HaKohanim Oso V'Espino. The Kohanim paskened over here like Rabbi Shimon, that the father and the son are not disqualified, they can in fact go testify together, but they actually, Upaslu V'Savdo, they didn't allow the Eved to go and testify. And the top toes, so is the Ramaschu Upaslu V'Savdo, he explains that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no problem with the Krovin, based upon Psukhin, we're learning the Gemara in a moment. But there's a problem with an Eved Meshuchra. Why is that? Because he says you need Ksherin Miyuchasin, you need Yichasdika people, and that comes to exclude a convert, a ger, a mamzer, a person who's of immoral lineage that the parents committed adultery and he has the status of being a mamzer. It's more in Sanhedrin Darshans, it has to be Meyitach, it has to be from people that are with you, Bidominloch, the people have a Yichus, and therefore the Eved Meshuchra, albeit he's a full fledged Jew, isn't called Meyuchasdik, and therefore, according to this opinion of the basin of the Kohanim, they didn't accept the Eved Meshuchra. But they had no problem following Rabbi Shimon's opinion that both a father and a son are not disqualified. They're allowed to go and testify together. Now that was the basis of the Kohanim. Kiblu HaKohanim Osov, yes, we know Apostle Zabda, but they didn't accept the Eved Meshuchra. However, when they came to the full Beisdin, so then Kiblu Osov, yes, Zabda, they said there's nothing wrong with the Eved. The Eved Meshuchra is perfectly capable of testifying, and he can testify with one of the two, the father or the son. However, Apostle Zabda, but they didn't allow the father and the son to go and testify together. That's the Mishnah. Now let's start off with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar of Levi, my time with Rabbi Shimon, what's the rationale behind Rabbi Shimon allowing Krovim? Normally we don't allow Krovim, so how come Rabbi Shimon over here allows Krovim? She says, based on this pasuk that teaches us by Kiddush HaChodesh, that you're allowed to have Krovim. What does it say? It says, Vayom Rashem El Moshe V'El Aaron, the Eretz Yisrael Lemor, and he says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. So this month will be for you Rosh Chodesh. And he showed them, this is the new moon, and this is how you declare the Chodesh. And he said it to Moshe and Aaron. So here's a special din. Eidos zu take shera bochem. This Eidos is good by relatives. So this is Rabbi Shimon's source, allowing relatives to be testifying in regards to Kiddush HaChodesh. No, what did the Chacham do with this pasuk? The Rabbanon, how did they darshan it? The Tanakhama says, no, you can't have lo mitzdarf and zu mzu. So the Tanakhama, the Chacham hold, what does it mean? It means that it should be, as Rashi says, L'chashuve hador animoser shekablu edus, that the Beis Din has to be made up of the great gedolim of the generation, like Moshe and Aaron. And then, v'yikachu achodesh, v'lo l'hachshir krovim ba, but not to tell us that krovim are good. It's that the Beis Din has to be made up of important people, like Moshe and Aaron. They're the ones that should accept this testimony, but the people that are coming to testify, the regular rules of edus apply to them. So this is the machlokas between the Tanakhama, who doesn't darshan the pasuk, the way Rabbi Shimon does, that it allows Moshe and Aaron to have been edim, therefore future krovim are allowed as well for edus hachodesh.
Then we quote the Mishnah. We said, Amar Rav Yossi, Maisa B'Tuvya Rofi V'chulei. We brought down the Maisa B'Tuvya Rofi that he and his son and the Eved Meshuchah came and the Beis Din of Kohanim accepted the father and the son, but not the Eved Meshuchah. And then the regular Beis Din accepted the Eved Meshuchah, but didn't accept the father and the son. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava, Rav Chanan Bar Rava Paskins, Hilchasor Ki Rabbi Shimon. We Paskin real like Rabbi Shimon, which is surprising. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Huna L'Rav Chanan Bar Rava. Rav Huna said to Rav Chanan Bar Rava, really? We pass him here like Rabbi Shimon? Number one, we have Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says over here that the Beis Din HaGadol, in fact, did not accept the father and the son. And normally when we have Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Shimon, so we normally pass him like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Nimuka Uimo, we always pass him like Rabbi Yossi. Even against the Rabbin, we sometimes pass him like Rabbi Yossi. And certainly if it's Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Yossi, we normally pass him like Rabbi Yossi. So number one, why did you paskin Rav Chanan Bar Rava, Rav Huna asks, like Rabbi Shimon? You should have paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And number two, Umaisa, we have a Maisa Shahaya that the Beis Din over here paskin, not like Rabbi Shimon, they paskin that the father and the son could not go together. And yet, the At Amr is Hilchasuk Rabbi Shimon, and yet you, Rav Chanan Bar Rava, are paskining like Rabbi Shimon that the father and the son can go together? It's a pellet. So Gemara says, Amalo. Rav Chanan Bar Rava says back to Rav Huna, you really think it's such a pella? There were times that I said this halacha over in front of Rav, that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, hilchos like Rabbi Shimon, below all my libel on me, and he didn't say boo. He didn't correct me. So therefore, Rav says, like what I'm saying, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Huna says there's something fishy over here. Rav Huna was a Talmud Muvuk of Rav, and he mustama knew that Rav didn't paskin like this. So Amalei, he said to Rav Chanan Bar Rava, exactly how did you say that this halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? Tell me the lashon exactly that you said to Rav, what you said that Rav didn't object to the way you said it. So Amalei, so Rav Chanan Bar Rava says, Ifcha, I said the opposite. Now, obviously, he didn't say I said the opposite because he didn't know that there was an opposite. So he told him what he said was that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, that a father and a son are not allowed to go and testify together. He had the girsos switched around. He had the Tanakhama saying that the father and the son could in fact testify together, and he had said that Rabbi Shimon said that they're not allowed to give testimony together. So the Gemara says if Rav Chanan Bar Rava had flipped it around, and that's why Rav didn't say anything, because the halacha l'maisa was correct. The way he said it was, Rabbi Shimon holds that the father and the son cannot testify together, and he told that to Rav, and therefore Rav didn't say anything, because that was the correct halacha, that the father and the son cannot go and testify together. So Amalei, so Rav Huna then says to Rav Chanan Bar Rava, Mishum Achi, Lo Malach, Lo Midi, because you said the halacha l'maisa correctly, that we don't allow the father and the son to testify together, that's why Rav didn't correct you. You said it in the wrong name, you said it in the name Rabbi Shimon, but in fact, you said the halacha correctly, and that's why Rav didn't correct you. So the bottom line is, Rav Huna says that Rav holds that the halacha is that the father and son cannot go and testify together. The Gemara concludes, Amar Tavi, Tavi is that the name of a person, who was Berei Demari Tavi, who was the son of the master Tavi, said in the name of Amar Mar Ukva, Amar Shmuel said in the name of Mar Ukva, said in the name of Shmuel. Now the Girsa that we have is Hilchasah Ki Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, which many suggest is according to the version that Rav had of Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, the father and son cannot testify together. According to the Girsa, that this means, like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that the father and son can testify together. So if you look at the Masoros HaShas, he changes his Girsa around to saying that Shmuel held Ein Hilchusa Ki Rabbi Shimon, that the halacha is not Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara concludes over here that the halacha is that the father and son cannot go and testify together. They would be considered possibly Eidus. They don't darshan it the way Rabbi Shimon and Agamar darshan it, that Vayomer Hashem and Moshe be Alaron to be allowing two brothers to testify, but they say that you mean that you need to have to go to the Chashuvi Ador, to Gedoli Ador, to be accepting the witnesses to be Makadish the Chodesh. And we're in the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Eil and Absulim, since we just started talking about some possible witnesses, whether it's the father and the son or an Eved Meshuchrar, so it tells us other witnesses that are not capable, other people that are not capable of being witnesses. So these are all psulin. They're all going to be posul midirabonim. Somebody's posul midiraisa. Of course they can't go and give testimony. But you might have thought over here for Eidus HaChodesh that these people that are only posul midirabonim would be allowed to give Eidus HaChodesh, and therefore it comes to teach us that they can't. What are these people? Eilin Apsulin, famous Mishnah. The following people are considered posul midirabonim. Hamasachik bekuvia. What is masachik bekuvia? It's basically a person who plays dice, a person who gambles. Rashi says these kuvia, these little cubes, are chatichos shel etzem, little pieces of bone, shemasachikim beirovon, that you play some sort of a game with them, and they're like collateral. The Omer Rabbanon asmachtelo kanya. And Rashi says that the din is, when you gamble, do we say that you're putting in the money? Let's say you're anting up to the kitty, right? You're playing a game and everybody has to put in $5 to play the game. So when you put in that money, are you basically putting it in and saying, I'm willing to lose the money, and if you win, the money is yours? That would be asmachta kanya. Or do we say, no, everybody assumes that they're going to win. And therefore, when they're putting in the money into the kitty, they're not really putting it in that the other person can take it. They're expecting to win. And therefore, it's asmachta lo kanya. They're essentially not expecting to lose that money, and therefore, they're not giving it over fully. And if they're not giving it over fully, so then the halacha is that the other person is taking that money really without permission. So it's not geneva de araisa, as Rashi says, in order to be a gazlam de araisa, you actually have to grab something. You have to go, a chote from Yad Ish. That has to be, you have to steal it from the person. That would be a gazlam de araisa. But if you take it from him, not really with permission, because he doesn't really give it to you, but you're not really taking from him without permission, so he doesn't fully give it over to you, so then you're a ganav midrabanan. And that person is one of the psulim over here that you're not allowed to go and testify for Eidus HaChodesh. Next one in the Mishnah is Malvei Beribis, a person who lends money Beribis. And again, Rashi explains, it's not a gazlan d'arais over here that he should be possible because of Al Toshis Yodcho im Roshel Yosei Chomos. That's not really a din d'arais of it because he gave it to you voluntarily. He's only too happy to take the loan from you at 2% interest. The bank would have charged him 5% interest. So you're a nice guy, and you're giving it to him at 2% interest, but it's not allowed. So that's why this is an issur d'rabbanan and not an issur d'araisa. The next category is umafricha yonim. Rashi explains that these people, hainunami, came kuvia. These are like gamblers. They're having pigeon races over here. Itikadme yonech liyoni. Is your pigeon going to run faster or get to the point faster than my pigeon? So again, they're betting on this. And when they bet, asmachta lo kanya, they're not really expecting to lose. So they put in the money. And when the other person wins, they're giving it over to them not full-heartedly. And therefore, it's a gezel d'rabbanan. The next category is very appropriate for this year. V'sochrei shvias, people that do business with shvias. Rashi reminds us that you're only allowed to do, the Torah tells us, le'ochlo, you're allowed to eat perish shvias, lo l'sora, but you're not allowed to go do business with them. So here these people are doing business with perish shvias, and l'fi she'nechshedu, kol elu lavar al das, machmas mamon, since these people are willing to go and be over a din in the Torah for money, they're doing this to make money, so therefore, al machmas mamon, we're concerned, so therefore they're suspected that they also will not be accurate in their testimony, that somebody could pay them off to testify the way that the person would like them to testify. As we'll see in the beginning of the next parak, we're going to have a case where there was a person who was paid off to testify falsely. Now he was an Erlich Yid, and he bedavka took the job so he could tell the Beis Din, look what they're trying to do. But we see that we're concerned that the Tztukim and the Beis Susim, they wanted, again, as I mentioned, they always want the Shavuos to be on a Sunday, so we're concerned that they would go and make up when the Kiddush HaChodesh really was. In any event, so the Sochrei Shvias are also possible. And finally, the Avodim. Now, Avodim, Rashi says, Apsulim D'Araisu, and it's a Kavachomer Me'isha, as the Gemara in Bava Kama tells us, if a woman isn't capable of giving certain types of testimony, midaraisa, only a man can give certain types of testimony, albeit the whole din of Eid Echo Neman Bisurim is learned out from a woman in terms of her counting her Shiva Nikiyim, so that's Eid Echo Neman Bisurim is actually learned out from women, but in regards to Mamanos and other types of testimony, women are possible midaraisa. So the Eved is also possible midaraisa. Now, Tosos asks, if it's possible in the Raisa, the rest of the list over here is possible in the Rabbanan, what's going on? So at the end of the first Tosos, Apostolos Abdo, he brings down that you might have thought that since, for example, like Rabbi Shimon, that he allows relatives to go and testify because there's no intrinsic psul in these people, they're perfectly good, it's just they happen to be combining with another relative. So you might have said that the Eved isn't intrinsically possible to go and give testimony. It's the fact that he's an Eved. So therefore, maybe it would be Mekel by Eidus HaKodesh. And that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that Avodim as well are not capable of giving testimony about Eidus HaKodesh. And the Mishnah includes and says, Zaklal, this is the rule, Kol Eidus She'en HaIsha K'sheira Lo, if it's a testimony that a woman is not permitted to give. Again, a woman is Eidecho Neman Bisurim. They are allowed to give certain types of testimony. A woman can say, Nebuch, that her husband passed away, or that a man passed away, leaving the woman that's remaining behind, that she shouldn't be an Aguna, so we accept the Eidus of a woman to testify that a person passed away. So certain types of Eidus we do accept from a woman. But, Kol Eidus She'en HaIsha K'sheira Lo, Avhein Ein K'sheira Lo. So these people that we mentioned in our Mishnah, just like testimony that a woman cannot give, so to these people that we mentioned, Eilu Psulim, cannot give testimony that a woman cannot give. The Gemara starts off and says that implies Ha'isha K'sheira Lo, if it's a testimony that a woman is kosher to give, for example, to testify that a man died, Rashi says, Lahatira li nase, that a woman shouldn't be an aguna. So therefore, that type of testimony, Avheim Sharing Law, so to these psulim would be able to give such a testimony. Am Ravashi, so also merits. Ravashi says, from here we can see, Gazla divrayhem, a Gazla midirabbanon, kisherim le'edus isha, is kosher to testify, to be matir a woman, that she shouldn't be an aguna, to say that the husband passed away. Rashi points out, this is only for a Gazla midirabbanon. Gazlan did the Rehim. For Gazlan Daraisa, the Chotzef, he's such a Chotzef, Lavor Bafahesia, he's not afraid to go and steal something, and he does this Bafahesia, Lohech Shiru Chachom Leidus Isha. Such a person isn't even able to testify to be Matir and Aguna. We wouldn't allow him to testify for what would he accept a woman to testify for. Be'afa Bishach Shiru as an Eved, there's an Isha, the Psula Daraisa, even though we allow an Eved and an Isha, who are possibly Daraisa, nevertheless, this Gazlan, he's possibly the right, so we don't allow him to testify that testimony that we would normally accept from an Isha. Finally, we go to the last Mishnah of the first parak. It's a little bit unusual. There's actually no Gemara on it, so we're going to end off this first parak with a Mishnah. And the Mishnah begins, Mishurah Sachodesh, Ein Yochel Halach. If a person saw the new moon, but he's weak, and he's unable to walk to the base, then Nebuch, he has a problem with his legs, he's weak, he's old, but he saw the new moon. So, Malichin Oso Al Chamor, Afilu B'mita. You're allowed to go and carry him on a donkey. Normally we don't mechamer, we don't lead an animal, but here we allow it to, and even put him on a bed. You're allowed to carry him on a bed. Vim Sogalam, and likewise, if there are people that are going to attack them, as Rashi says, Im Yesh Orvim Baderach, if there are marauders lying in wait for them on the road, Vatotzode Es Nafshi, this is from the Loshon in Shmuel, that you're coming to attack me, to trap me, by Baisus Vakusim Ohayohem Orvim Lam Li Ikvam, Kidil Lahatos Es Chamim. We're not talking about regular Ganovim, we're talking about the Baisusim and the Kusim, as I mentioned, they're interested in having the Kiddush HaKodesh on certain days. So if it's going to work out, that by your being Mekadesh the Chodesh a day earlier, Shavuos is going to come out on Shabbos when they wanted to come out on Sunday, so they would have these people lying in wait, the Baisusim and the Kusim, that would attack the people who were coming to testify and prevent them from going. So if the Tzdukim, the Baisusim and the Kusim, were going to start up with you, so you're allowed to bring weapons. You're allowed to actually go take him. So the lamb looking beyond the makos. You can take sticks with them to defend yourself. And if it's a long distance to travel, then you're allowed to take food. This is the marker for when a Jewish family goes on a trip. They take along 5 days worth of food in order to go for an hour trip. So you're allowed to go take food with you. So you shouldn't be famished, you shouldn't be hungry on the way. Because you're allowed to go and travel. Let's say you see at the very beginning of Friday night. So you're allowed to travel the entire Friday night and all of Shabbos during the day. So you'll get to the Beis Din before the Beis Din closes shop up on Shabbos the afternoon, and they'll accept the Kiddush HaKodesh and make that day Rosh Chodesh. So Mahalach Laila V'Yom, Mahalach Halal Nesha Shabbos, the Yotzim Eidus HaKodesh, to go out and testify that in fact it is Rosh Chodesh, Shenemar, and it's based upon the Pasuk. Again, we mentioned this many times, Elamor de Hashem, Mikroi Kodesh, Asher Tikru Osam Mo'adam. I don't know why the Mishnah over here doesn't say the words Mikroi Kodesh as well, but I've mentioned this many times, the editors sometimes just shorten the Psukim for various reasons, and this is the Pasuk that tells us that you have to do it B'Mo'adam, you have to do it at the right time. Beis Din is obligated to go and make sure that the Kiddush HaKodesh occurs at the right time, so the Yom Tovim occur at the right time, and this includes even being allowed to have the Edom travel and be Mechalo Shabbos in order to do so. With this, we conclude the beautiful first parak of Rosh Hashanah, Hadron Lecha Arba Rosh Hashanim, Hadron Lecha Arba Rosh Hashanim, Hadron Lecha Arba Rosh Hashanim, and now we begin the second parak. And the second parak begins as follows. Im einon makirinoso. As we will see in this parak, as we already alluded to previously, that by susim and the tztukim, they were trying to always make sure that the Rosh Chodesh came out the way they wanted it to, so therefore they would send false witnesses. So we didn't know these people, and we couldn't testify whether they were tztukim, they were the bad people, or they were the prushim, they were the good people. So the Mishnah tells us, in Einon Makirnoso, Reuven and Shimon saw the new moon, and they want to go and testify. Now they're Elucha people, but they're not well known. They aren't known to the Beis Din in Yerushalayim. So what's going to happen? The Beis Din Yerushalayim has to be suspect that they may be the Beis Susim, and that they didn't really see the new moon. So therefore, im einon makirino, so if the Beis Din isn't going to recognize these people as being erlich prushim, so the rabbi of the town is allowed to go along with them. Mishalchen imo acher le'aido. So the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin, knows the rabbi of the town, let's say. They know the important people in the town, and therefore they're allowed to go, even though they did not see the new moon. Nevertheless, they can also go and be mechallel Shabbos to testify about the two witnesses that did see the new moon, that they're erlich people. The Gemara is going to explain when it says Meshachin Imo Acher Laido, it means another group of witnesses. Acher doesn't mean one person because one person isn't acceptable, but they would need two witnesses to testify that Reuven and Shimon, who saw the new moon, are in fact Elucha people. So Meshachin Imo Acher means another group of witnesses, Laido, to testify about Reuven and Shimon that they are Kashura people. Now, why was this even necessary? So the Mishnah tells us and steps back a step, and it tells us Barishona originally, originally everybody, a Yid has a Cheskes Kashrus. If a Yid comes and he hasn't ruined his Cheskes Kashrus, so therefore he's believed to say, I saw the new moon. However, when the Baisusim came along and started finagling and started saying, no, we saw the moon, no, we didn't see the moon, in order to make the moon Rosh Chodesh come out according to their calendar the way they wanted it to, so therefore the rabbis now had to set up that unless you know for certain that the people were Prushim, that they were Erlicha people, you had to presume that they could be, unfortunately, Baisusim. So Eskinu Shloye Mekablin Element Amakirin. So therefore they only accepted Prushim that they knew, or if somebody came along to testify that they knew that these were Erlicha people that saw the new moon, and that's why this Mishnah had to say in Einon Makirin so because of Nebuch, Misha Kilkalu Hai Baisusim. Now, as I mentioned, the Mishnah had said, Mishachan imo acher la'ido. He sent along seemingly one person to testify. So the Gemara asks, my acher, what do you mean acher? If you tell him it means one person, chad, and we turn to beis somad aleph, so then how does that help us? V'chad mi mehemen. A single aid echad is neman. So therefore, for Tanya, we learned, ma'isa shabo hu the aid of imo lehad olav. In the Brice, it tells us that you need to have two people to come along. As Rashi says, lachziko neman, to make sure that the two edim are considered makirin, you need two witnesses to come and say that they're erlicha people. So therefore, this maisa showed who the aid of imo, the person who was testifying, came along with witnesses, the aid of witnesses to testify about him, not one. So Rav Papa says, yeah, that's what it meant in the Mishnah. My acher, when he said acher, it meant zug acher. It means a pair of witnesses. It means another witness, means another set of witnesses had to come along. And ochanami mistabi, this actually makes good sense, because the ilo tema ochi, if that's not true, then you have other problems with the words. It made makirin oso. The Mishnah had said that if you don't recognize him, oso, that's singular. Now, my oso, obviously it doesn't mean a single witness. Ilema oso chad, v'chad min nehemene. One person can't come and testify. You need a pair of witnesses. So obviously, mishpat sivbe, it says that it must be mishpat. Now, mishpat implies a regular din Torah, which requires two witnesses. You're only allowed to take money based upon two witnesses. So therefore, when it says over here, as Rashi points out, ki chok l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elokei Yaakov, so this declaration of the new moon has to be by two witnesses. So obviously, when it says im ein makirin oso, it meant two witnesses. Ela mai oso, it meant oso hazug, the pair of witnesses, Reuven and Shimon. They weren't recognized, and therefore, acher comes along. Hochanami, my acher, you send along another pair of witnesses, zug acher. Oh, very good. Mor says, really though? V'chad lo meheman, is one person not believed to say that these two people are Elucha people? But Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Maisa b'Rebbe Noroi, the great Rebbe Noroi once came, Shehalach Eitzel Ha'ed, L'Hoyed Allah B'Shabbos B'Yusha. Rabbi Noroi went along with a single witness that had seen the new moon, and Rabbi Noroi was going along to testify that this person was an Erlicha person. Shehalach Eitzel Ha'ed, he went with this single aid, Lahoyel Alav B'Shabbos B'Usha, and testify about him to the Sanhedrin that was in Usha, and he was Mechal Shabbos. Rabbi Noroi, the great Noroi, was Mechal Shabbos to be able to go and testify that Reuven was an Erlicha Yid. He was one of the Prushim, so if you could combine him with another witness, this witness was recognized now to be a good witness because Rabbi Noroi said so. So the Gemara says, you see that Rabbi Noroi alone was going to testify about such a person. So the Gemara says, how could he do so? Amre, the Gemara answers, it was Rabbi Noroi Sahada Achrina Havabade. It was not Rabbi Noroi alone, it was Rabbi Noroi and somebody else with him. Aye, why did they mention the other person? Lord Lochashiv, Lay, why did they mention the other person? Mishum Kvodosh Rabbi Noroi. Because if somebody is going along with Rabbi Noroi, they're totally subordinate to Rabbi Noroi. So if you have Rav Moshe Feinstein went someplace with his driver, so the driver, Rav Moshe, isn't considered that he was there with Rav Moshe. You say, Rav Moshe went there. Of course he went with his driver. To Rabbi Noroi, of course he went with another witness to testify about the single witness that he was a kosher person. However, you don't even mention the person that came along with Rabbi Noroi because he's totally overshadowed by the fact that Rabbi Noroi was there. So that's the first teretz that the Gemara gives. That, in fact, there were two witnesses. Rav Ashi Amar, no, the Chiddush is as follows. Rav Noroi, Sahad Dachrina Hava B'Usha. Rav Noroi knew that there was another person who was in Usha that knew the person who saw the new moon. So Reuven, who saw the new moon, Rav Noroi knew that there was already somebody there in Usha that would be able to testify that he was an Erlicha person. But there was only one person there. So therefore, Rav Noroi went because he would be the second person to go and testify that Reuven was a kosher witness. Also, Rav Noroi litz tarufe b'hadei, and he went to go and join him. So now there will be two witnesses over there to testify about Reuven that he was a kosher aid. Where it says, well, both these terutzim are so pashut ihachi ma'alaneima. So why did you have to tell us that Noroi traveled to Usha on Shabbos? Of course he's allowed to. We just said that the Mishnah taught us that people are allowed to go travel to make sure that the witnesses are recognized that they're kosher people. So why did you give me a ma'isa that just illustrates exactly what the Mishnah said? Someone says, no, it was very necessary to tell us about Rabbi Noroi. Why? Ma'alutema, I might have said, Misveika, here Rabbi Noroi went, maybe there would be another witness that would come. There was only one witness, and nevertheless Rabbi Noroi, and neither the other witness that was here or the other witness that was ready in Usha, would be able to testify about this one person, Reuven. But they didn't know for certain that somebody else would come and say that they also saw the new moon. So Ma'alutema, I might have thought, Misveika lo mechalina shabasa. That yes, you can. Even though right now there's only one witness. So for this one witness, you might have thought it's not worth it for Rabbi Noroi to be Mechal Shabbos and the other witness to be with him. That's Mechal Shabbos going to the first version. Or just that Rabbi Noroi should even go to meet up with the second witness that was in Usha because maybe there would be nobody else besides Reuven and it would turn out in retrospect that they traveled to Nord on Shabbos. Kamash Vala, no. Even Al Safek, you're allowed to go. Mark continues, and similarly, Kiyasa Ula, when Ula came to Babel from Eretz Yisrael, Amari said, Kitshuol Yachob Marava. Ula told them that in Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Din had made Kiddush HaChodesh on a certain day. In other words, they now could know when Rosh Chodesh was. So Ula was believed. Amar Rav Kahana says, Lo Miboya Ula, the Gavarava, who the Mehemon. El Afilu Inish, the Amma, Nami Mehemon. Don't think from here that it's only somebody of the status of Ula that would be believed. But any Erlicha person would be believed. A regular, plain person has a chesed kashrus, and he would be believed. So, my taima, how can we believe a single witness in this situation? So the Gemara tells us a chiddush, kol milso da avido liigluye. Any testimony that a person gives that will subsequently be able to be found out that he lied or didn't lie. So if a person testifies that it was Rosh Chodesh, based on the declared Rosh Chodesh on Tuesday, so eventually, there are going to be people coming from Eretz Yisrael and say, no, Beis Din didn't declare it on Tuesday. What are you talking about? They declared it on Wednesday. So if this is a type of testimony that will be forever be able to be found out to be false or true, so then it's milso David de Lagluya. It's just a question of time before everybody will know, was he telling the truth or not? Lo mishakri but inche. People won't lie about something which a day later they're going to be proven false. So if they say they somehow knew the news, something happened in another place, if they lie about it, everybody else is going to know that news the next day. So therefore, nobody's going to lie about something that they'll easily be able to be proven false on a day later. So therefore, it's not only Ulu came from Eretz Yisrael, but any Yid who comes from Eretz Yisrael to say, yes, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and they said that the new moon is on this and this day, so they'll be believed because nobody would lie about this because they'll easily be found out to be false liars and they'll ruin their reputation forever. And in fact, the Brisa says the same thing, Tanya Nami Hochi. The Brisa says, V'echa b'sof olam, even if a person comes from the edges of the world, in other words, you don't know him. V'omar kichu beisin es hachodesh, nemon. And if he says to us that the Beis Din was Mekadesh to Chodesh on such and such a day, we're allowed to believe him, even though we don't know him. There's a cheskes kashus. If this was a known person to be a liar, then you can't believe him. But if this is a person that has a normal, typical cheskes kashus about him, so since this is a dovor, da milsa da avido li gluye, lo mishakri be'inshe. People won't lie about something which they'll be able to easily be proven wrong the next day. So therefore, you're allowed to believe this person, even though he's not ula, he's not the god of Adar. Nevertheless, you can believe him. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Barishon ha'yu mekavlim eitzes choshen chol v'chulei." Originally, before the Baisusim came and ruined it for everybody, before they came in Mekilkalu, so every person had a cheses kashus. And if a person came and said, "I saw the new moon," they would do the bedikos. They would check him out to make sure that he wasn't making a mistake, and that they saw that he was telling the truth, so he was accepted. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the following brisa, "Ma kilkalu ha'baisusim." What exactly did the Baisusim do that they messed it up? So here we have a famous story. Pamachas. Bikshu by Susim Lahatos and Sachachonim. The by Susim wanted to make sure that Shavuos came out on Sunday. So therefore, they wanted to declare Rosh Chodesh a day earlier. They wanted this month to be a Choser month rather than a Moly month. In this way, Shavuos would come out when they wanted to come out. So what did they do? They went and they hired false witnesses. Sochru, they hired out Shned Neodim, two people. They thought both of them would be following what their instructions were, but one of them was a Prushi, as we'll see, one of them was an Erlich Yid, who accepted this, quote, false testimony on their behalf to go and alert the Chachamim about this. So these Baisusim, Sachu Shnei Bnei Adam, the Arbam Yozuz, they hired out these false witnesses for 400 Zuz, 200 Zuz to this false witness Reuven, and 200 Zuz to this false witness Shimon. Now, Reuven was a false witness, but Shimon was really a Prushi, he was really a good guy. One of them was a Baisusi, but one of them really was a Prushi. So in my example, Reuven was the Baisusi and Shimon was the Prushi. So Shimon went along with their ruse in order to make sure that it failed. Shalohem, hey, they do so yotza. So Reuven, the false witness, the Baisusi, came and testified, oh yeah, I saw the new moon, and he passed the test with flying colors, and they accepted his testimony. And they would have accepted then the false testimony of Shimon if he'd also come and been a false witness. But he tells us the following tale. Shalanu, the good witness, the Prushi, Shimon, so the Beis Din asked him, Amulo, tell us what you saw. So Emor, Ketzad, Ra'isa, Esalavana, tell us exactly where the Levana was in the sky. We'll see if it matches up with the description that Reuven gave. Reuven, the false witness, said he saw it, let's say, low in the sky in the left with the crescent this way. So we'll see if you match up to his testimony and then we'll accept it. So Shimon, the good witness, he told the Beis Din, I saw the new moon rising in Mala Adumim. And it was crouching down in between two rocks. Again, it makes up this huge story about the moon. Rosho Domela Ego, the head of the new moon, was similar to a little baby cow. Oznov, its ears, Domin Lagdi, its ears looked like a Gdi. Kainov, his horns, Domos Lutzvi, looked like a deer, whose novel when its tail munachas lo ben yachosav, its tail was tucked in between its legs, v'itzatzti bo, and I looked at it, v'nir sati v'nofalti lachoroi, and I was looking at this moon, and it startled me so much that I fell over backwards. No, and if you think I'm making up a bubamais over here, v'mein atem aminim li, if you think I'm making this all up, harei masayim zuz tsruli b'sadini, I had 200 zuz over here to tell you that I was paid to go and say this testimony. So don't think that it's a mishugas. This is all true. Now, of course, this is all tongue-in-cheek. This is all him telling the Beis Din that the Beis Susim tried to bribe us over here and give false testimony. But Baruch Hashem, I was able to foil their plot, and this is what I'm telling you to the Beis Din. So Amrullah, the Beis Din says back to him, Yosha Koyach, Mi hiskik cholakach. Who is the one that told you about, to do this? Amalhem. So this kosher yid told the Beis Din, Shamati shebikshu baisusim lahatos es chachamim. Amarti elechani vodi elohem. I heard that the baisusim were going to make this plot together. So I volunteered. I told them, I will be the one to go and do this. In this way, I'll be able to tell the chachamim, tell you the Sanhedrin, what they were doing. Shem yivob ne'odim she'enamu ugonim v'yatu es chachamim. Because if I don't come forward and try to do this, quote, false testimony, they'll hire somebody else that will, in fact, bring this false testimony, and you'll have two false witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, that you'll believe, and therefore you'll incorrectly make the Rosh Chodesh a day earlier rather than a day later. So the Chacham were very happy with this person. He was a real tzaddik. Amrullah, they said to him, listen, the 200 zuz that you got, so normally you would have thought that they'd have to return him because he took it falsely. He didn't really want to go and do their false testimony, so he just took the 200 zuz to convince them that he was going to go do this. So they told this person, Masayim zuz nesun l'chom l'matona, Hefker based in Hefker. Basin has the right to take away the money from the Baisusim and give it to him. So they said, this 200 zuz is your reward for doing this great mitzvah. And those people that tried to hire you out, Yimosach ala omud. We're going to give them lashes. We're going to give them malchus because that's the punishment that they get for trying to set up this false testimony. And also show skinu show you makablim ella min hamakirin. And from that point and onwards, because there would be no way to know that these were really false witnesses or true witnesses, so they only in the future now accept the people that they knew to be erlicha people. They knew were prushim and not by susim or tzdukim. Next Mishnah. Barishon Homiyasin Masuos, originally, before they had the shluchim going out, so they set up an elaborate system to be able to almost instantaneously let the entire Eretz Yisrael and the Gola know that the new moon had been declared. They had a system of torches that they put up on the tops of mountains. The Mishnah will tell us the details. And they put up torches on the top of these mountains, and they would light it on the first mountain, and they would see it at the second mountain, as we'll see in a moment, and they would light it there, and then the third mountain, the fourth mountain, until the entire Gola was lit up. It was almost instant messenger. This was the first instant messenger. They were able to almost simultaneously have this news transmitted across vast distances via this torch system. So Rishona, in the beginning, they would go light these torches on the tops of mountains, and Beis Din would declare Rosh Chodesh. So they would go and light the torches and signal to everybody that Beis Din had declared Rosh Chodesh. Again, the Kusim, Mishakilkalu HaKusim, the Baisusim, the Tztukim, the Kusim, they all wanted things to be done in a different way. So when they messed up, they would go light the torches on a night that it really wasn't yet Beis Din declaring Rosh Chodesh, and they would be mate, they would go and fool the people in the Golos, the people outside of Yerushalayim. They would think that it had really been declared Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, Mishakilkul Akusim, Yeskinu Shi Shluchim Yotzim. So then, the Chazal started sending out Shluchim, messages that were trustworthy, Erlicha people, and they no longer had the torch system to go and notify the people in the Golos when the Rosh Chodesh was. How did they do it originally? Keitzayu Masiyim Masuos. What was the way that they set up the torches originally? So Mevin Klon Sonos, they would bring these long poles, shall eres of cedar wood, aruchin, long poles, and Bakonin, they would bring some reeds, Atze Shemen, and various types of wood, oil wood, with orishal pishton, and pieces of flax, and this would all burn very, very, very well. They would be very flammable. The Korech Bemshicha, they would bind them all together with some sort of a thread or a string. But Olul Rosh Har, they go up to the top of the mountain that was right near Yerushalayim. Umayitzis Bohenesar, they would light it. And Umolich, Umevi, they would go and shake the torch that they had made. Molich, Umevi, back and forth, Umalamorit, up and down. Achu Roes Chaveru, Shosa came Berosh Har Hasheni. The person that was standing on a mountain 100 miles away, 50 miles away, wherever it was, the next mountain. So he would see them lighting the torch, and he would repeat this on his mountain. So this way it would be transmitted 50 miles, suddenly, in a second. And then when the person on the second mountain lit it up, a few seconds later, the person on the third mountain would see it, and he would light his torch, and so on, and so on, and so on, until they would reach all the way to the Golos. So they went, they started off, Mehar HaMishcha L'Sartava. The first place they were was on Har HaZesim, Mehar HaMishcha. And they would light the torch there. The next mountain over was Sartava, a certain place that was far away, but near enough they could see still the torch on Har HaMishcha. Then the third mountain was Grufina. So in Sartava, when they lit up on the second mountain, Sartava, they would see it on the third mountain, Grufina. And then on the third mountain, Grufina, L'Chavron, they would see it on the fourth mountain in Chavron. And in Chavron, L'Beis Baltin, Chavron was the fourth mountain. They went to Beis Baltin, which was the fifth mountain. And Beis Baltin, Lozoz Misham, the fifth mountain was already near the Golos. It was already outside of Eretz Yisrael, close to Babel. They didn't have to move from Beis Baltin. They would wave the torch back and forth. They would wave it back and forth, up and down. They did this in order to make sure, the Gemara will say, the people should think it was a natural phenomenon. But if you see it moving, so obviously it was a person going and shaking it, and therefore they knew that it was not a natural phenomenon, that somehow there was a fire over there, but this was a man-made fire. And they would know that it was Kiddush HaChodesh, and they would shake back and forth, up and down on this base baltin until Acharya Roa Kol Hagola Lefana Bibidurasesh. Until the people in the Golos, they would stand on their rooftops and signal, and furthermore, more people would signal until the entire Golos was, so to say, lit up. And therefore, this is how they transmitted almost instantaneously the news that Rosh Chodesh had been declared all the way from Har HaMishka to Babel. Rashi explains that this B'nai Babel was Anshi Pumbedisa. The Gola was really Pumbedisa. That was the first city that they would encounter. The Hema, and then from Pumbedisa, Modin L'chol B'nai Medina's Babel. They would then either send out messages or do torches over there as well to let the rest of Babel know. So that is our Mishnah. Now we start to Gemara. Gemara says, "My mashma the masin lishna dikodu." How do we know when it says that they were masin? The Mishnah tells us, "But Rishonim masin masus," that they would go and carry these torches. How do we know that that means that they would light these torches? How do we know that that's the expression of yikod, that they would go and burn the torches, light the torches? So the pasuk tells us, "Tachsiv vayosi isoyim David v'anoshav," David and his men vayisoyim. And what does the Targum tell us by Yisoyim means? David. The David and his men burnt them. So therefore, you see that this Lashon of Masin is a Lashon of burning. Tana Rabban, we learn the Braisa, Ein Masin Masuos, El Al Chodesh Shenira Bismano. That we only would light the torches if the Chodesh was declared Bismano. And the Gemara says, Lekacho, which Rashi says, Lo Dion Shiniskadish. We light the torches to let people know. So Bismano over here means that it was a Chaser month. So they saw the new moon on the 30th day, meaning the night of the 30th day. So the 30th day was not the 30th day of the previous month, but now is the first day of the next month. So that's the only time that they would light the torches. And when would they light it? So they would light it as soon as they could, at the evening of the 30th day. So whenever the witnesses came, so they would light the torches to let them know that they had declared Rosh Chodesh. The implication is that if it wasn't declared on the 30th day, they would not light the torches. Because it was obvious if it wasn't the 30th day, so then clearly Rosh Chodesh was the 31st day from the last start of the month. Because no month has more than 30 days, no month has less than 29 days. So therefore, they would only light it after the day that the basin declared Rosh Chodesh. So again, the witnesses would say they saw the new moon, and this was the night of the 30th. The basin would declare it on the 30th during the day. That became Rosh Chodesh. And then on the following night, on what we would call the 31st night, so then they would go and wave the torches. And this way everybody would know that yesterday, i.e. the 30th day, was Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Gemara tells us. When would they go and wave the torches? Lo'or Iburo, on the next day, on day 31 in the evening. Lememra, the Gemara says, the Achoser Avdinon, Amali lo Avdinon. As I just pointed out, they would only go and light the torches when you declared it to be a Choser month, a month that only had 29 days. So then the 30th day would be declared Rosh Chodesh, and they would wave the torches on the night of the 31st day. But if the 30th day was not declared Rosh Chodesh, so the 31st day after the last Rosh Chodesh would be the next Rosh Chodesh, so then on the night of the 32nd night after the first Rosh Chodesh, they wouldn't go and wave the torches. My timer, why not? So Amar Rabbi Zeira, said, Gezeira Mishum Rosh Chodesh Choser Shechol Yos Be'er Shabbos. They did this because of the situation where if Rosh Chodesh was Choser, it was a 29-day month that fell on a Friday, so then they normally would go and light the torches then on that Friday night, which would be the 31st night. And therefore, they couldn't do this because of Shabbos, so what would they do? So Rabbi Zeira says, Gezeira Mishum Rosh Chodesh Choser Shechol Yos Be'er Shabbos. In this situation, a Masai Avde, what would they do? Bafuke Shabbata, if they're going to do it Matzi Shabbos, so then they're not allowed to do it Friday night, so they have to do it Matzi Shabbos. The Yamas Navid Nami Amale. But if you say that we do it on a Male, so then also the people would think that it actually was Matzi Shabbos that was the day after Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh was Shabbos, not Rosh Chodesh being Friday. So because of this concern for when Rosh Chodesh is on a Friday, and they would normally not be able to do the Masus on Friday night. They would have to do them on Saturday night. But everybody would see that if they did it Saturday night, it meant that it was Friday night, because we never do it for a Mullah, we only do it for a Chaser. And this would be a way that they wouldn't have to be Mechal Shabbos to let the people in the Gola know. And at the same time, they would know that it wasn't Saturday night for Shabbos, but it was Saturday night for Friday, Rosh Chodesh. I hope that was clear. I'll say it one more time real quickly. So Rav Zeira says, Amar Rav Zeira, If Rosh Chodesh was only going to be 29 days, and Rosh Chodesh was therefore going to be on Friday, so then normally they would light the torches that following night. But here it's Friday night, so they can't go and do this. So therefore, Amos Abde, when would they be able to go and light the torches? They would only be able to do it by Fuke Shabbos on Saturday night. Now, if you're telling me the Amos Nabit Nami Amale, if you're telling me that they also did it for a month that had 30 days, so then how would the people know that now that they're lighting it on Matzei Shabbos, maybe it was a 30-day month, and the lighting it on Matzei Shabbos is to tell us that Shabbos was Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, people would make a mistake if they were to light both on a Chaser and a Mole, return to Chav Gimel of an Aleph, Asu Limitai, it would come to make a problem, because people would say, Amre, Hai Chaser Hu, V'Hai De Lo Avid Meyesmo, Mishum De Lo Efshar, Odoma Molehu, Uvizmano Avado. We wouldn't know what it was. If you did both for a Chaser and a Mole, so when they lit it on Saturday night, you wouldn't know, is it because it was Friday, there was Rosh Chodesh, and they just couldn't light on Friday night? Or was it Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, and now they're lighting on Shabbos night, Matzei Shabbos, in the right time? So therefore, the custom was that they wouldn't light for a Mole. They would only light for a Chaser. So then when they saw that it was lit on Saturday night, they would know it was only for a Chaser, and therefore Rosh Chodesh was Friday and not on Shabbos. Mar says, wait a second, we have a different teretz. V'lovid bein amole ben Chaser. No, always light whether it's Chaser or Mole, and they'll know that that preceding day was Rosh Chodesh. So if they're lighting on the 31st day, so they'll know that Rosh Chodesh was declared on the 30th day. If they're lighting on the 32nd day, then they'll know that Rosh Chodesh was declared on the 31st day. And therefore, you could light for both the Mole and the Chaser. What about the Friday night? V'chi mikla Rosh Chodesh be'er Shabbos, and when Rosh Chodesh was on a Friday, and you can't light on Friday night, in that situation, lo li'ovid klal. Don't light at all on Friday night. Don't light at all on Saturday night. Even the Lavdin on Matzei Shabbos, and since they don't see any candles lit on Matzei Shabbos, they'll know Mineila Vavdin on a Mole, that they'll know that indeed it wasn't a Mole, it was a Chaser, because if it was a Mole, they would have lit on Saturday night for the Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. But the fact that they didn't light on Saturday night, they'll know that it wasn't a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, they'll know that it was a Friday Rosh Chodesh. May the Yodei de Chaserhu. So why don't we do that? So when he says no. If they did that, there still could be a problem. It could lead to a mistake. Because Amre Haimalehu behind the law of day is nuse who did is nuse. No, they'll maybe think and argue that no, in fact, Rosh Chodesh was on, in fact, Shabbos. But the reason why they didn't go and light it on Saturday night like they should have was because some onus came along. It was raining and they couldn't light it, whatever it may be, and therefore some onus came along and they wouldn't be able to go light it. So Gemara says, "V'liyaved amole, v'loliyaved achaser klal." So then, why do we do it this way? That we're only lighting is saying on the chaser and not on the mole. Why not light only on the mole and not on the chaser? So Amar Abaye, mishum bitul melacha l'om shnei yomim. Because here the people wouldn't know. You'd want to let them know as soon as possible when Rosh Chodesh was. They could maybe waiting and waiting, and they didn't work on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, you wanted to identify as soon as Rosh Chodesh was. So therefore, it'd be preferable to go and light for a chaser and not light for a mole when you're only going to light for one of the two. With this, we conclude today's share.